Let us worship God. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we come into thy presence, knowing that though the heathen rage and the nations take counsel together against thee, against thy kingdom, and against thy people, thou art he who dost laugh at the pretensions of men. That all things shall serve thee, thou hast assured us in thy word. That all things shall praise thee, willingly or unwillingly, thou hast declared, and we believe thy word. Make us joyful in thee, confident in thy word, and always instant in thy service, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning is Deuteronomy 4, 41 through 49. Deuteronomy 4, 41 through 49. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely, Bezer in the wilderness and the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth and Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgments, which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt, on this side Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, which is Hermon, and all the plain on this side Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain, under the springs of Pisgah. Our subject this morning is God's law as a refuge. God's law as a refuge. The verses of our text were obviously written on the east side of the River Jordan and before the conquest of Canaan proper. The speaker is Moses. He is referred to in the third person, which was a common means of speech in antiquity by persons in authority. Some scholars, such as H. Wheeler Robinson, have said of these verses that they are without any relation to what precedes or follows. They see no connection between these texts on three cities of refuge and everything before and after. But to say so is to assume that Deuteronomy and the whole Pentateuch is a mindless collection of miscellaneous documents. And this is, in fact, the view of many higher critics. It seems to me that the obvious mindlessness is on the side of the biblical scholars. There is a clear pattern in all of the Pentateuch, and here as well. The cities of refuge cited here are three in number. They are all on the east side of the Jordan. Bezer in Reuben's territory, Ramoth and Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan within Manasseh's borders. The cities of refuge were places of escape and safety for men guilty of accidental manslaughter. The law provided in these a safety zone for men who proved they were innocent of murder. To kill a man unawares, verse 42, means in current English, without intent. More is said on the cities of refuge in Deuteronomy 19 and Numbers 35, 13, and 14. The requirement of three such cities on the east side of Jordan is cited, and these cities are cited in Joshua 28. Bezer is mentioned on the Moabite stone, one of the most important historical artifacts uncovered by archaeologists. And Bezer is said to have been rebuilt by the Moabite king, Misha. But let us turn again to the placement of these three cities of refuge. And these verses, 41 through 43. Obviously, since Israel had recently conquered those lands on the east bank of the River Jordan, it was a good time to require the separation of three places as cities of refuge. It was a practical priority. But there is a more important reason. In Psalm 48:3, God is declared to be our refuge. In Psalm 14, verse 6, God is named as the refuge of the poor. Above all, Psalm 46 has as its joyful proclamation, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Among the other texts referring to God as our refuge are the following, and I'm going to read these. They're not all the texts that deal with this, but the cumulative impact of this tells us something extremely and urgently important. In Psalm 46, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 70, verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many. But thou art my strong refuge. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Psalm 94, verse 22 says, But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Psalm 142, verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Then Isaiah 4, 6, And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Jeremiah 16, verse 19, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers inherited lies, vanities, and things wherein there is no profit. Then finally, Hebrews 6:18, by two things immutable, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, which have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, I haven't given you a complete list of such references, but what comes through in the concept of the cities of refuge, the Psalms, the prophets, and the New Testament, God is our refuge and strength. He is our fortress. God provides by His law a refuge, a fortress, a place of strength. So the cities of refuge tell us that God and His law constitute our refuge and our fortress. And that is an all-important statement. We have the security of the strength of God and His justice or law. And the cities of refuge are a visible reminder that it is God's law that provides justice and freedom. Hymn writers have seen the analogy in emotional terms. So it is amazing that biblical scholars are so wooden that they fail to see that God's law and justice provide a refuge in these cities and in everyday life. Because God is our great refuge from the evils and injustices of this world. So, as Moses begins his commentary or summary of the law, he lists first the three cities of refuge, the three on the east side of the Jordan. Now, there is more to be said on the subject of cities of refuge and the concept of refuge. The Bible tells us that men make two kinds of refuge. God and His law on the one side, and man himself and his lies on the other. Isaiah spells this out clearly in Isaiah 28:15-18. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness or justice the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Two kinds of refuge. God and His law. Man and his lie. Man feeling that his own wisdom can provide the way of escape. What Isaiah tells us is what Machiavelli turned into a political philosophy, and it is the policy of state everywhere now. only do the ungodly have a covenant with death and hell, with lies, but they believe in their heart that not God but lies are their best refuge, their city of defense, their refuge. These men seek to shape history by their lies and their laws. But God has a sure foundation for his city of refuge, and it stands against the city of man and man's lies. It is his Messiah, God incarnate, who as a new Adam will create a new humanity in his image. Through Jesus Christ, the last Adam, God will disannul all that these evil men seek to establish. He will disannul their world order, which is founded on lies and injustice, and it shall finally perish. Thus, the cities of refuge have a typological meaning, and this must not be neglected. Jesus Christ, in his law word, provide us with our city of refuge in an evil generation. It is important to remember at the same time that these are the last words of Moses, the whole of Deuteronomy, and he is giving to the people what God had revealed to him, his law. They have a great inheritance, he is telling them. One far exceeding anything any nation of antiquity had. They have God's law. This in Christ is our inheritance also. St. Paul in Romans 8:4 tells us that Christ redeems us so that the righteousness or justice of the law may be fulfilled, put into force in our lives and persons. We are to be God's people of justice. This is our inheritance and privilege. Our work, as we set forth the truth of God, is to create for men a city of refuge, to tell them, here is what God provides. There is a refuge from this world of lies that has a covenant with death and hell. When we see the law in the light of these things, we are strengthened and blessed. We are God's people of justice. We have in a world of evil our city of refuge, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God and his law book, the way of justice, because it is his way. So it is our task and our privilege to make of the whole earth God's city of refuge, a place of justice and safety. Isaiah 2 verses 1 through 5 gives us a vision of this city or world realm, a whole world of peace and freedom. Many texts celebrate that coming event. And in Revelation 11:15, we are told of the certainty of that triumph. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The cities of refuge are thus no trifling nor incidental matter. The church, which neglects their meaning, has allied itself with a covenant with death and is one whose refuge is a city of lies. They have abandoned their strength. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we give thanks unto thee that thou art our city of refuge, a tower of strength in an evil world. We thank thee that by thy grace we have a great calling to make the whole world the world of thy law, thy justice, thy city, and that we have been assured of victory in this struggle. Give us grace, therefore, to continue the battle, knowing that ours is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, that we shall triumph. And those who work in hostility to thee shall know thy judgment. In Christ's name, amen. Are there any questions about our lesson? Yes.
The modern world is turned against the idea of a refuge. There is no place, according to recent rulings, where anyone is free from the application of American law. And Israel has taken the same position.
Yes. This means that whether it be for a drug bust or tax purposes or any other purpose, the troops can be sent anywhere or agents to seize you. So it's a particularly evil step. It is a New World Order of very evil proportion. I will not be at all surprised if others officially adopt the same policy. We know the Soviet Union felt that it had the freedom to go anywhere in the world and execute people without any trial or hearing. So this terrorism, which is the only name for it, is now making it impossible to find a hiding place anywhere in the world. Yes?
The state is attempting to become imminent. The state is attempting to adopt a doctrine of imminence.
Yes.
Especially in the new Senate bill, SB 260 and 61. These are the new so-called anti-terrorism laws, which will be used against American civilians. They haven't made it out of committee yet, and they're not likely to. But one of the most important passages in those bills is one in which a person for uttering any phrase that can be classified as terrorist in nature, all right, can be arrested with all their property confiscated. And any associate of that person who should have reasonably known, to quote the law exactly, any associate of that person who should have reasonably known that the person arrested was a terrorist, okay, can also be arrested as an accessory and have all of his property seized as well. And that's, I just did a short analysis on those two bills a week and a half ago.
Yes, well, what we are seeing is new Tower of Babel in process of construction, and we know what God does with Towers of Babel. So we are living in very interesting times. In fact, probably the most exciting and interesting times in all of history. It might be a little hard on the stomach at times, but it's a time of action, decision, and definitely of God's judgment. Yes?
Is involuntary manslaughter the only reason for a city of refuge in the Old Testament? Are there any other reasons for people to go and live in that city?
It became, in practice, a place of refuge for those guilty of accidental death, manslaughter. in practice within Christian history, because the church became the city of refuge, the sanctuary. It became a refuge for anyone fleeing from arbitrary law. For example, if the king were trying to seize someone wrongfully out of sheer vengeance, he would flee to the church for sanctuary. Then the churchman would hold a hearing, as the Old Testament law required, to ascertain whether or not his case was a valid one. And if it were, the king had to give him safe conduct out of the kingdom. So the right of sanctuary developed out of the cities of refuge. It has been destroyed by every modern state, I should add. Well, let us conclude now with prayer. Our Father, thy word is truth, and thy word alone speaks to the evils of our time, to the solutions that are from thee, to the saving power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make us faithful servants of our Savior and of his kingdom. Make us ever mindful that we have been called victory, that we should not fear what men are able to do to us, because no man can take a step apart from thee. How great thou art, O Lord, and we praise thee. In Christ's name, amen.